Good morning. Good morning. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio, and this is the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis, and I come to you every Friday morning at 10 a.m. to share a variety of ideas, thoughts, feelings, and really an engagement in the discovery of who we are and how we can go about making our lives better, more uplifted, how we can heal ourselves and help to heal our loved ones, as well as on a professional level, how we can engage in the work of transformation. And this is important because we're living in very powerful times, when we have an opportunity to heal, transform our energy, and then lift that energy through our field into the world around us, which will help us to create the family, the communities, the world, and the life that we desire and intend. And it's something that we all long for. On today's program, I'm going to be featuring some of the work of Michael Bernard Beckwith, and he is the founder and spiritual director of the Agape International Spiritual Center, a trans-denominational community in Los Angeles. He was featured in the film The Secret and has been on many shows, including Oprah Winfrey, Larry King, Tavis Smiley. He had his own PBS special as well. His books include Spiritual Liberation, The Answer Is You, Life Visioning, and you can find many of his spiritual programs on Sounds True. That would be soundstrue.com. And today we're going to feature just a small portion of his program on your life's purpose, because that really is the subject of today's program, that spirit quest that we are all on. So let's stay tuned and hear from Michael Bernard Beckwith, then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about this idea.
So these opening remarks and this reminder about breaking free from mediocrity leads us to our life's purpose. People ask over and over again, what is my purpose? Why am I here? What's going on with my life? Am I an accident? Am I just something that just formed itself out of a reaction to some external circumstance? And of course, from my point of view, the answer would be no. That who you are and what you are is a unique, radical expression of the only life that there is. And that life itself carries with it all of the wonderful and transcended qualities. Qualities that we know so well and some we don't know yet. Qualities such as beauty. Qualities such as love and peace. In order, qualities such as intelligence, creativity. These are all qualities that are contained within life itself. And you have the capacity to think. Thinking is returning to the origin of creation. Many people don't think. Many people shuffle information around and call it thinking. But real thinking is going to the origin of creation, where insight and inspiration takes over one's life. Now, our purpose, then, knowing that we're an emanation of life itself, and that life is forever, and that life contains all of these qualities, our purpose is to reflect and to reveal the cosmic order in a way that has never happened before. When we speak of the word cosmos, and many people think along these same lines, the cosmos contains the inner infinite potential, as well as the external manifestation of that potential. When we think about the universe and the galaxies, the universe is the outpicturing of the fundamental order of the mind of a living intelligence. It's the external demonstration or manifestation of order, symmetry, beauty, elegance, without one bit of energy being wasted. The cosmos is the inner and the outer. It is that which is within us that is infinite, and is also the external expression of that. You and I are here as a dimension of our life purpose, or an expression of our life purpose, to reflect and to reveal the cosmos in a way that is uniquely ours, that each and every individual on this planet has a unique way of expressing the cosmic order. Radical uniqueness is a dimension of our identity. Just as within the species of roses, every single rose is different. Every single snowflake is different. As a matter of fact, scientists tell us that if you capture snowflakes and look at them under a microscope, you'll see the extraordinary uniqueness of them. And then if you melt them and they become water, and then refreeze them, they will go back to that original unique pattern that was revealed when they floated to Earth. In the same sense, each and every one of us are unique emanations of a universal presence, a living intelligence. And each of us are here to reflect and to reveal the cosmos in a unique way, in a way that hasn't happened before. That's our purpose. It's a purpose that doesn't carry any sense of boredom within it. And when we totally embrace it, doesn't carry any stagnation in it. And within this dynamic purpose, there's the sweet release of the fragrance of love and of happiness and of pure joy and bliss at times, being the evidence of the activation of the deep potentiality of our own being. You are an on purpose with a purpose. You're not accidental. You didn't arise as a evolutionary reaction to a circumstance. You are a magnificent idea containing every single idea that is held within this universal presence, and you get to reflect and to reveal these ideas in ways that have never happened before. Think about that. And then think about this, that in one lifetime, this lifetime, you can radically change your life. You can begin to embrace this impulse of life, this impulse of unfoldment, this urge of evolution, this urge of excellence within you, consciously. And in one lifetime, you can radically change your point of view, shift your perception to a higher vision state, and change your life. Now, other species, a rock, a tree, all being expressions of life itself, are not going to change that much in one lifetime. Once an oak tree is sprouted and begins to reflect and reveal the excellence of being an oak, if that species were to change, it would take years and years and years based on external shifts of climate and soil. It might evolve into a different kind of oak tree. But as a spiritual being that you are, having a human incarnation that you're now having, you can in one lifetime, without it being a mere reaction to an external circumstance, evolve, change, and become a different expression of life. You may be fearful, doubtful, worried. You may have seemingly inherited some perceptions from your family that have mitigated your prosperity and abundance and livelihood and friendships and right relationships. But in one lifetime, with focus and resolve, you can move through the life visioning process. You can move through different spiritual technologies and change your life. And watch your purpose, which is to reflect and to reveal the fundamental harmony, the divine beauty, the cosmic love, the abundance, the opulence, the intelligence. What is life visioning? What is LVP? A life visioning process is a spiritual technology that is about going within, activating and participating in our intuition, and embracing that potential within us that hasn't been expressed before. So it is a process by which we place ourselves in a position to be renewed and regenerated and to be transformed by the renewing of our awareness. How did it begin? It began over 25 years ago as I was beginning the spiritual community known as the Agape International Spiritual Center. And this center was birthed as I called a number of people together in my living room. Colleagues, friends and associates, clients, individuals that were my students, individuals who had said from time to time, if you ever have a notion to begin a community, I want to be a part of it. And so when my resistance was transcendent, when I finally had a yes within me that was bigger than no or maybe, when I finally let go of any trepidation or unwillingness, I called a meeting. And I called this meeting a vision group, individuals that would hold the vision of the unfolding of this spiritual idea known as Agape International. And it was a kind of an organic, spontaneous, meditative process that emerged from that evening. I wanted something to emerge from our deep interiority, our intuition. I wanted to be guided by something that was outside of our present paradigm at that time. And this is the foundational piece of the vision process, where you're not injecting into it what you think you want, nor are you running from what you don't want. You're available to catching the highest and the best you could catch about a spiritual idea, about a project, about a way of living, about an area in your life in which you want to change or to be available to transformation in that particular area. So on that particular night in my home, I invited them to open up and to be aware that there was an idea trying to be birthed. I invited them to ask a question with the full awareness that whatever question you ask will be answered. It will be answered by your intuition, be answered by the inner presence. And so the question was simply, at that time we said, what is God's idea of itself as a spiritual community? And I would invite these individuals to be available to what was emerging, whether it was a feeling, whether it was a vision, an image, a symbol, a sign. And then I invited them to ask themselves, what is it that we must become in order for this vision to manifest? That's a transformational question. What must I become? The focus of the vision process is that you cannot have what you're not willing to become in consciousness. You can't have something that you're not. So this was a transformational technology in which we were inviting ourselves to become something rather than to go do something. From there, creating a deep feeling tone of willingness. The willingness to what? The willingness to become what was necessary for the outpicturing of the idea. Gratitude, thanksgiving that was already complete, and then moving into dialogue, expression, and other exercise that will assist us in becoming what was necessary. The key being, in life visioning, there's something about us that we are here to deliver and express that is unprecedented in the sense that it hasn't been expressed through you. It is opening ourselves up where we're inviting our higher knowing, our intuition, to be activated and to assist in the governing of our life, of our unfoldment, and of our evolving. The life visioning process places us in a position where our inquiry is always about, or primarily about, what's trying to emerge in my life? What's trying to be birthed? For many people, they ask a different kind of question. Why me? What's missing in my life? What's wrong with me? Why don't things work out for me? That kind of questioning depletes one's energy, distances themselves from their purpose and their mission, and keeps them in a fog of separation from the giftedness in their soul. Our life experience is governed by the questions we ask ourselves. So the life visioning process, as we begin to use it on a regular basis, fine-tunes our awareness so that we're continuing to live from a higher order of question that leads to a higher order of being that leads to a higher order of expression. So that even when you're not formally in a life visioning process, you become more and more conscious of your mind and the questions that it's asking. And you begin to be more aware whether you're falling prey to the why me, victim consciousness kind of questions, or you're entering into what's trying to emerge. That's more of the vision state. As you sit, and as you begin to plumb the depths of your purpose and your different missions to express your purpose, you will continue in the lineage of life visioning and what is seeking to be birthed by means of you. It's a dynamic practice so that we learn to live from the radical tension between what we are questions that people
and
ask,
what we are becoming.
Is how can I find my purpose in regards to my livelihood? Obviously, this is an important question. People need to be about the business of generating prosperity, activating their gifts, creativity. All of this is involved within your livelihood. We go back to our purpose. What is our purpose? Our purpose is to reflect and to reveal the cosmos in a way that has never happened before. So that if we have livelihood right now, we're to enter into that space every single day with the question, how can I reflect and reveal the fundamental order of existence through what I'm doing with the people that I'm working with and creating with? And then what happens is we begin to live from this atmosphere that the question is producing. We're not living merely from the paycheck that's coming. We've extended our life energy by living primarily from a higher order of question that leads to a higher order of being, so that we begin to discover that we're not working for human beings. We're working for an idea. And though we're doing whatever our particular job assignment is, we're pulling our energy, our insights, our revelations. We're living from this question where we are bringing a level of excellence. We're bringing our best to every moment. And of course, every day, our best is different. And what happens is we begin to build up a kind of reservoir of excellence. And if, in fact, you say, well, I don't like my job. I don't like what I'm doing anymore. This doesn't fit me anymore. Should I just quit? Should I just leave? Well, as we are bringing our best to where we are at any given moment, we may outgrow where we are. Our energy may be a bigger field that can be held by that particular place of employment. And so what happens is the universe begins to respond to that and move us into other places. I think it was Ralph Waldo Emerson that spoke to the fact that you cannot outgive God or outgive the universe. That as you're going into this particular place, not bemoaning your fate, but bringing your purpose to bear as best you can, day by day by day, either the environment changes because what you're bringing is not neutral, you're bringing the power of the universe, or you're moved out of that environment. You have an insight, it's time for me to go. Or sometimes you're abruptly moved from that particular place because your energy field just does not fit any longer. So you have to be still, you have to listen. What's trying to emerge here? Your purpose is to reveal the face of divinity everywhere you go, so that even though you're in a place that may not recognize what you're bringing, you don't work for them anyway. That's just what it appears to be. You're working for your purpose, and you happen to be at that particular J-O-B. So you bring your best there, even if you feel they're not worthy, they don't appreciate what's going on. That is not your concern. Your concern is your purpose and living it fully. I'll tell you a story. There was a woman I was working with who had come to see me very angry because her previous husband had left her, and had left her with the children with no alimony. And she was very upset, and she was waiting for the legal course to take its place where he would be forced to pay alimony, etc. And she asked me to assist her in getting her husband to pay her the money. She wanted me to use some kind of magical prayer or something along these lines. And she told me very pointedly, I don't want to learn about forgiveness. I don't want to go into all that. I just know that you can speak the word. You can make something happen here. And she was very, very adamant about the path she did not want me to lead her down. And so in the process of working with this particular woman, I would invite her to enter into a larger field of feeling that all of her needs were met, a larger field of her own creativity, her own productivity, a larger field of feeling that everything that she needed, she had for her and her children. And something interesting happened. She had a dream. And in this dream, she woke up and she was walking down a hallway of her home. And there was a picture of her former husband. And in this dream, she took the picture off the wall and she put a picture of God up. I probably should have asked her what it looked like. But she put this picture up, and she went back to bed. And she called me the next day very excited, saying to me, I think I understand the meaning of this. I was looking to my husband, former husband, for the meeting of my needs, but I realized there was a greater power that was at work here, and that she began to then feel that her life had a reason for being, a different purpose. And she began to work on that. And then something interesting happened. She went to lunch with a friend of hers who happened to have a friend with her. In the course of conversation, the gentleman that she was with asked her if she had some particular skills that he was looking for. And she said, sure. Long story short, he hired her at his place of employment, his business, and she began to make more money than she'd ever made in her life because she was a stay-at-home mom at that time. She began to circulate her gifts and talents and capacities. She had enough money to raise her children, send them to school, get their basic needs met. And then something strange happened. Her husband started sending money for the children, child support. And more than what the judge had agreed he should be sending. Now, all of this is to say that something shifted in her. Instead of looking at her former husband as her source of supply, she was invited into an evolutionary shift in her own consciousness. And without letting the former husband off the hook, she found resources within herself. She began to live a greater purpose of activating these gifts and talents and capacities that had been latent within her. She began to reflect the presence of order and harmony and beauty and compassion. Ideal employment and livelihood emerged, and then even helped heal the relationship with the former husband. She took his picture off the wall and put the real source of creation on the wall in that dreamlike state. So her dream became an access point to teaching her where she had been resistant to me, except in a particular area of her life. There's a place for you where your gifts, talents, and capacities can play and express. Your right livelihood exists because you exist. Your purpose is to reflect and reveal the cosmic order. So if, in fact, you're at a place, bring your highest and best to there every day, even though it might not vibrationally fit in. It may not vibrationally fit in to the conversation around the cooler or the coffee urn, where sometimes in the human condition, complaint and blame is oftentimes the topic of conversation and what's wrong. But as you begin to break free from mediocrity and invite a higher order of being with excellence, the universe will not be in your debt. The universe will provide the context for a greater expression of good through you, by which you will reap the benefits of that good in terms of prosperity and greater happiness, a greater sense of well.
And that was Michael Bernard Beckwith. And we were really listening to three different segments of his audio program, Your Radical Uniqueness, The Birth of LVP, and A Purposeful Livelihood. And all of this is from the program Your Life's Purpose. Michael Bernard Beckwith is very prolific, I would say, in what he has to offer. And you can find a lot more of his work at his own website, or you could check out SoundsTrue.com, and you'll find any number of programs and books that are available from Michael Bernard Beckwith. I want you to stay tuned. We're going to take a break for a few station announcements. Then when I come back, I'll be sharing a bit of my own writing topic. So please do stay tuned.
This is PRN, the comprehensive news source for the world's progressive community. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
South of the border, down Mexico.
I'm Johnny Mueller, host of the Expat Files, living in Latin America. Heard Friday at 11 a.m. and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's a show where you'll learn how to work, play, do business, or retire and live the life of Riley. Yes, an amazing number of first world people like you are jumping off the stateside treadmill and voting with their feet. And surprise, surprise, they're finding there really is an American dream. But it's not in Seattle, Milwaukee, or Cleveland anymore. It's down here in Latin America. So be sure to tune in to the Expat Files to find out how you can live the good life on a measly Social Security check.
Hi, I'm David Crow, host of The Infectious Myth, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time here on PRN.FM. I love science the way it should be practiced. But a lot of modern science is corrupted by financial interests and serves a master other than the public good. Myths continue to be constructed around viruses, vaccines, forensics, and pharmaceutical drugs. People are dying and ending up in jail because of them. Listen to me as I deconstruct the myths that those who call themselves scientists weave, or when I wander into social and political topics. If you're new to the show, check out our past episodes at infectiousmyth.podbean.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine, the host of this program, and we just heard a bit from Michael Bernard Beckwith. You can find much more about this teacher and healer at his own website, which is michaelbernardbeckwith.com, or you can also look for him in agape.org. So I want to speak a little bit more about the whole idea of finding our purpose. Now, I believe that we each have a unique purpose, just as we have a unique life. And we can really find insight into how we're being guided by looking at our life, by looking at the choices that we made, by understanding our misunderstandings, you know, and finding in that we can excavate and come up with some real insights into the core gift and the core purpose that we embody through our life. So I wanted to share a piece that I wrote. I wrote it on the 5th, a couple of days ago. And as I was preparing for this program, I was looking for some material that would support this more expansive way than my particular story might support. And that's how I came across, again, the work of Michael Beckwith. The piece that I wrote is called Spirit Quest. So what is this spirit quest, spiritual journey of mine? I felt a pull in this direction from a very young age, which leads me to feel that I have come into the world with a purpose. My choices have almost universally drawn me away from the outer world into the sanctuary of my inner space. My greatest contentment has always been to putter around and create, write, draw, and sing. Reading has always been fundamental. Fiction, as fiction, for the most part, gave me less satisfaction than my own imagination. Such books were most often abandoned in favor of my own musings. Of late, the books, or nonfiction, have been realized to contain mostly, or at least many lies, which has given birth to my new passion, that of an investigator, digging for the truth of human history and the divine world. I am an instrument of the divine, not to miss the truth of all beings having divine origin, but I came to play in the mystical, magical world of spirit, spirit as form rather than a form with spirit. The journey till now was one of conflict and confusion between my thoughts and feelings about life on earth and my seeking for a place in the world that made sense, that felt right and good. To survive, most often I abandoned the outer world in favor of a secluded existence. There I contemplated my greatest desire, peace above all else. As my journey twisted and turned through time, it was a reaching for peace that guided my choices. For me personally, love was not the answer, at least not then. My observation and experience believe that love of suffering, choices made in favor of this rare gift, most often led to fighting, selfishness, jealousy, condemnation, binding, controlling, loneliness, and loss. I could never quite understand the attraction and desire for love. So it was peace that I practiced, and it is in peace that I found my mastery. Cultivation of inner peace has been and continues to be my greatest challenge and my greatest joy. In solitude, the joy of peace can be boundless, buoyant, exuberant, nourishing, and expansive. But upon interface with negativity and hatred, my peaceful joy would shatter again and again. Thus, I sojourned through the lessons delivered by my soul till I strengthened and understood that joy is most readily compounded by its flow, so it can't be kept, it's to be shared. I learned to radiate peace through my body and into the fields of energy that are around me, my own fields of energy. From there to the environment and into the world, I eventually learned to express peace through my thoughts, words, and actions. Only then could I walk in the world unmolested by the chaos that swirled around me. It is peace that has brought grace into my life, and it is the grace I offer through my being. I have come to realize that at least for me, manifested peace is the substance of divine love and the purpose of my spirit quest. So that is the full piece of writing. And what I came to discover that in my earlier life, I didn't really understand the meaning of love and unconditional love or divine love. And I would look around me as a child and growing up and just seeing the people in my life and the chaos that would ensue in some relationships. And I saw that relationships didn't last. And even those relationships that did last, like my grandparents, for instance, and, you know, some of the marriages in my extended family, they lasted, but people didn't seem very happy. And so I didn't really have the comprehension of what was being referred to when I thought of love. But because I had this chaos around me and some struggles of other kinds, I found refuge in just finding a quiet space in the house. Or if there was no quiet space in the house, I would go to a park or go sit in an empty church. And as I was growing up, I just became very much attracted to peace, to quiet, to that centeredness that I could find in those spaces. But ultimately, I had to learn to ground that sense of peace, that sense of quiet, into the substance of my being so that it could be sustained. And that's really what the work of meditation, writing, prayer has done for me. It's allowed me to ground myself in that resonance of peace, so that now I don't really seek to go anywhere to be at peace. I flow into the core of myself, and there is this resonance and radiance of peaceful existence. And as I got older and went deeper into my work, I began to identify a sense of peacefulness as my essence, as the radiance and manifestation of my being that I am beyond this life, beyond any life. And so once I was able to make that connection, I began to realize that peace itself is a manifestation of love. There are many manifestations of love, and we each have our own definition, our own portal, our own way of having made that connection or seeking to make that connection. My particular path is my path. I don't impose or think that it should be anyone else's journey. But I do think that we are all on this journey, this spirit quest. And when we get into that quest, we are able to really bring forth its fruits in our life. And we're able to begin to craft our life so that it flows in resonance with that purpose that's coming from the deepest and most potent part of our being, that part of us that is the creative force, that is that force that is seeking to be unique through our individual being. We each are that beautiful, graceful individual being that has blossoming within. And as we live our life, that blossom grows and expands into a tree, into an orchard. And so I just believe that if we can steer our focus to that inner space, and while we can see the world, divest emotionally and energetically from the chaos within our world, then we begin to walk around as if we are a central point that emanates from our world, that which we choose to engage within our lives. So it's a beautiful process of becoming, and we are all engaged in it. The truth is, I would love to hear more about your process, about how your life is unfolding, and how you see the blossoming of your work and your mission root and growing into your world. So if you would like to share this with myself, with our audience, by all means, you can drop me an email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com, and I would be happy to share your writing, or perhaps if you give me your phone numbers, we could engage in a conversation on air and make this a more expansive conversation so that we can each bring our wisdom to the table. Because one of the things that I recognize very clearly, that while I have my own journey, my purpose, my quest, my gift, I'm not unique. We each have that. And I look forward and desire to really expand that conversation with you. And don't think that because you're listening and I'm speaking at this moment through these airwaves at the Progressive Radio Network, that that makes us any different. You're equally as blessed and capable, certainly, as I am. And it's in the sharing of our stories, of our experience, of our insights that we all grow. Just as I can grow from the insights of our recorded segment with Michael Bernard Beckwith, from your insights. And so this is, once again, an opportunity to connect and to grow in conversation, as well as in through writing, through communication, so that we can expand this community. And Michael Beckwith spoke about his community in Los Angeles, which is really a beautiful flowering of this idea. And certainly here on the East Coast, I've been working on this idea, a similar idea. I've been working on it since 2011, actually. And as we begin to approach 2017, I'm looking to make it more formal, more constructive, more capable of offering the expansive support that is the mission of this work. And you may have heard me speaking of my spiritual support group. And as we move into the coming year, this is going to be morphing into a larger community effort, but it's an effort that needs collaboration. So I'm hoping that you will make that connection if you have an interest in collaborating, whether you're a practitioner, a healer, a teacher, a mother, a father, a sibling, a child. It's all about bringing our gift. And you might consider coming to our next meeting, the Heart of Mind Spiritual Support Group meeting. It actually is coming up on Wednesday, October 19th, and it's actually the third Wednesday of the month, and we will be at Janana Yoga Wellness Center. This is in Brooklyn, 97 Bond Street in Brooklyn, on the ground floor between Atlantic Avenue and Pacific Street. There are many ways to connect. If you go to the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM webpage, you can search out Heart of Mind Radio. And on the description for today's program, you'll see many ways that you can connect, as well as you'll see the date and locations of various events. We can connect and communicate through Facebook. The Heart of Mind Support Group has a Facebook page now. And we also have a newsletter, and there's always the reliable email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Also coming up, one this month and again in January, I'll be offering free introductory classes, and these classes are a precursor to series you could also register for. But coming up most immediately is the Mind-Body Healing Series, Move the Energy Within for Maximum Potential. It includes meditation, Qigong routines for everyday practice, body breathing and stretch, healing remedies, and trance dance. And it's going to be at Studio Maya in Brooklyn, 603 Bergen Street in Brooklyn. The free introduction is Saturday, October 29th from 3 to 4:30 p.m. So this is an opportunity for you to check it out, learn a bit, and also decide if this is the practice that would benefit you. And for those of you who are in Manhattan or further afield, I'll be offering a series at the New York Open Center coming up in January on Soaring Crane Qigong for Optimal Health. Achieve the grace of a bird in flight. Now, this is a classic Qigong form. It's based on the principles of traditional Chinese medicine and Taoist philosophy and serves to bring communion with the natural world. The free introductory class is Thursday, January 5th, that's 2017, next year, from 6 till 7:30 p.m. And the five-part series goes from January 12th to February 9th to be able to learn the whole form. So I invite you, it's a lot of information. Definitely go to prn.fm. You can listen to the program again. You can check out the dates and see the links to the various references and sources of communication. And you can connect with 347-480-1694. Again, that number is 347-480-1694. And by email, heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And so for those of you who would connect, please do. Also, I invite you to tune in again on Friday morning at 10 a.m. next week and subsequent weeks, and realize that I am truly seeking to connect with you, to bring you in through the program, those of you who are doing good work in the world. And it's not about selling anything necessarily, but if you have a practice or if you have a book or if you have a tape, then certainly drop me a line at heartofmindradio@gmail.com. Coming up, I did hear from a composer in Germany. And as soon as I'm able to arrange it, we'll be having an interview with this composer and playing a little of his music. And we have a few other interactions coming up from people who are listeners to this program, because this program, Heart of Mind Radio, is about building spiritual community, and it's about mutual support so that we can all go forward to create the world that we desire and support each other in so many ways. So call, make that phone call. After the show is over, I see a call coming through, but after the show is over, we'll answer those calls. And I want to thank you for joining me. This has been Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network, prn.fm. Stay tuned for more great programming coming to you throughout the day and weeks. And check out the website, prn.fm. You're going to see a lot of new information there. Bye for now.